We welcome you back. This is SB Nation Radio. Jason Gotch rolling along with you. It's always a good time to talk college basketball, but an especially good time during championship week. So let's talk some bracketology as we reach out to our guest line. We welcome from SB Nation, their bracketologist. His name is Chris Daubertine. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Daubertine is his Twitter handle. Chris, always good to catch up. A busy time for you. I appreciate your time and welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Jason.
Gonzaga gets a big round victory in the West Coast Conference Championship game. They knock off St. Mary's. Have they secured a number one seed?
Yeah, I think they pretty much have at this point. I mean, even if, you know, whatever happens in the Pac-12 tournament between Oregon, Arizona, and UCLA, Gonzaga is still going to have more top 50 wins than either one of the three. And the committee seems to be putting a premium on those this year, so I really think that they've probably locked things up.
Who are your other number one seeds at this point? Are those pretty secure too, or could those be in flux here over the next few days, depending on how things shake out?
They're pretty well set. I think Kansas and Villanova are probably the two safest teams, and the North Carolina's in the third spot right now. But that ACC tournament is pretty thick. I mean, you think about, you know, they could potentially have to play Louisville or Duke in the quarterfinal, in the semifinals, and then you have Notre Dame and Florida State lurking on the other side of the bracket. So that could open the door if the Tar Heels fall out early for a team like Kentucky or, you know, maybe even Oregon if things kind of go, you know, the right way for the Ducks in the Pac-12 tournament.
Chris, let's actually focus here for a moment on the number two seeds, because the number ones, as you mentioned, they're pretty well set. Things could change, as you articulated. But who's best in line right now for the number two seeds?
Well, I think Kentucky out of the SEC obviously is in a great position because they're going to be heavily favored to win both the SEC regular season tournament and regular season title. So that's going to be a nice differentiator for them. I think that you're going to see a team out of the Pac-12, whether it be Oregon, UCLA, or Arizona. I think that UCLA-Arizona game on Friday night, the semifinal, is going to be absolutely crucial because Oregon could potentially get tripped up by Utah in that 1-4 game. So the Ducks are going to be in a bit of an odd predicament. Louisville and Florida State and maybe even Duke out of the ACC have a shot to get up there. And then, of course, Baylor, you know, they've been a little bit on a little bit of a slide late, but they can really get back, you know, in that Big 12 tournament and really get back and solidify their place on the two line.
Chris, I know you watch a lot of college basketball and study everything, and when you look at what's gone on in the Pac-12 this season, we have three very good teams at the top in Arizona, UCLA, and Oregon in no particular order. But is there a team there that you think, based on your studying the brackets and what you've seen so far this season, that you think might be a little better than the others, or do they all have pretty much an equal shot to make a great run in March?
I think they all have a pretty good shot. I think UCLA, just because they can score in bunches, probably has the best shot. But I really think that whichever one of the three ends up getting the two seed out west, I think they're going to be the team that's best in position to actually go and make the Final Four.
Chris Daubertine is our guest. You can follow him on Twitter, his handle, at Chris Daubertine, and that's T-E-A-N on the last name spelling. He's with me, Jason Gotch, talking college basketball and bracketology all across the country here on SB Nation Radio. You can find him also at bloggingthebracket.com. Chris, let's look at this field for a second, because I keep hearing there are a bunch of teams that could win the championship. So how important do you think seeding and matchups are going to be this year? Do you think in the end it's going to be their are a few talented teams and talent's going to win over?
Yeah, I think that's probably how it's going to be. I would say I would limit that group of teams that could actually win it to probably, you know, anywhere from 12 to 16. That really, that top 16 group is probably going to be one of the strongest we've had lately. There's a pretty good cutoff between teams, say 16, 17, and then the rest. I think there's a pretty big drop off. And then really you could even say that there probably are about 8 or 9 that are going to be there to actually be able to win the whole thing. And then, of course, it is going to be, you know, matchups. That's going to be the absolutely crucial thing. And that Pac-12 race, because those three teams are so close, that's going to be one really to pay attention to see kind of how those teams are arranged. And also, you're going to potentially have 5 ACC teams among the top 16. 4 of those teams are going to be placed in separate regions, but that 5th team is going to end up being paired up on the other side of the regional bracket from another one of their ACC rivals. So that's going to be another interesting thing to see how the committee takes care of that little problem.
Let's stick in the ACC, Chris. Wake Forest knocks off Boston College in Brooklyn in the opener of the ACC tournament, while Georgia Tech falls to Pitt. When you look at those two bubble teams, Wake Forest and Georgia Tech, what do you rank their chances right now?
Georgia Tech is absolutely finished, because their RPI coming into tonight was 95th. They're probably going to be around 100, so they're not even going to get a look in the committee room at this point. Wake, on the other hand, I mean, I think they're pretty well safe. I have them just above that last group of four teams that avoid Dayton, so they're probably like the ninth team from the cut line right now. So they're fairly safe. And, you know, BC gave them a little bit of a challenge this afternoon, but they held them off. I think they're probably going to end up looking at a 9 or a 10 seed eventually. I think they're going to completely avoid Dayton. The computer numbers are too good. You know, committee is valuing top 50 wins. They're 3-8. They don't have any bad losses, and I think this year that's going to be more than enough for them.
Some of the big conference tournaments, of course, are going to be kicking in now that we've reached midweek. Who are some teams that you look at right now that they have work they need to do in their conference tournament to put them over the top?
One team that's a little surprising is Xavier. Xavier looked to be pretty safe. Then Edmund Sumner got hurt. They've struggled without him. They're 3-6 without him playing. And two of those wins have been against DePaul. They play DePaul again tomorrow in the Big East tournament. And if they lose that game, I think they're in real trouble, because the committee is going to say this team is just simply not that good without their best players. So that's one that I would keep an eye on. Vanderbilt in the SEC, they play Texas A&M on Thursday in their first round game, in their second round game, I should say. And then if they win that, they'll get to play Florida again. And I think a third win for Vanderbilt over Florida would pretty much solidify their chances no matter what. They could be the first at-large team to ever get in with 15 losses if they beat Florida three times. I would keep an eye, again, the Big East, Providence, Seton Hall, Marquette. Those are another three teams that are kind of on the edge and really want to put on a good showing in New York. And, yeah, the Big Ten, I think you want to see what Michigan State does. Illinois and Iowa have some very important games coming up. Iowa, Indiana is a potential elimination game for both. Yes, Indiana's not out of it yet, but Iowa's a little bit closer. And Illinois plays Michigan in an 8-9 game there, and that could be a big difference maker for the Illini.
And in the Big Ten right now as it stands, Chris, how many do you see as being locks from that conference?
I think the seven that I have in the bracket right now are all set. So that includes Northwestern, that includes Michigan State, and that includes Michigan. And then, you know, Illinois and Iowa, I think that, you know, if one of those teams can actually get to the semifinals, they'd be in really good shape. And I think the draw sets up a little bit better for Iowa.
One team I wanted to go a little more in depth with you, the Northwestern Wildcats. First ever NCAA berth they are looking at here. As you mentioned, you and many bracketologists have them in already, no matter what happens in Washington, D.C. later this week. Where do you see Northwestern being seeded right now?
They're probably going to end up in an 8-9 game unless they actually can go and get a couple of wins in Washington. That would be the only thing that would kind of get them over that. But that's simply because there's a really big mess of Big Ten teams between line 7 and 9. I have four Big Ten teams. I have Wisconsin as a 7, Michigan as an 8, Northwestern and Michigan State both as 9. So there's room there if they can actually, you know, get a couple of wins in D.C. for them to maybe move up to a 7 spot.
Let's go outside the big conferences for a second. Back on Sunday, Wichita State clinched their sixth consecutive berth in the NCAA tournament. They won the Valley. They beat Illinois State handedly, but the Redbirds are in a lot of people's bubble, and they have a very good record. What do you make of Illinois State's chances right now?
I really don't know, because one thing the committee seems to be hammering this year is quality wins, and let's put it this way in terms of the Redbirds. They played three games against top 50 opponents, all of which are named Wichita State. They won the first game by 14 at home and lost the next two meetings by 41 and 20. So that's not really, I don't think that's really going to get it done. They're my very last team in the field at the moment. Their RPI is 31. Their schedule strength's not that great. Their advanced metrics aren't as good as what Wichita State had going for them. So I think it's very possible the Redbirds end up getting passed by somebody like an Illinois or an Iowa or a Kansas State over the next few days.
Chris, always good to catch up. Thanks for the excellent insight. I know you're going to be busy over the next few days. Enjoy the madness.
Thank you so much, Jason.
There he goes, Chris Daubertin. Check him out, bracketologist, bloggingthebracket.com for SB Nation, and on Twitter, @ChrisDaubertin is his Twitter handle. Gotch rolling along with you. Back with more after this.